We're going to speak on an interesting topic, and I pray that God will give us utterance. And I call it understanding your times and seasons. Amen. Understanding your times and seasons. You know, many people don't know their times and their seasons. Sadly, you can find that maybe, let me give an example of an athlete. When you look at an athlete, there is a time of their youth. There's a time that they run and they know they have reached their peak. Maybe it is 25, and beyond that, it's a downward trend. Now, you cannot say that you're 60 years old and this is the time now you want to run in the 100 meters. It is impossible to run at 100 meters when you are 60 years old. Why? Because there's a certain time that God has set that if you cross it, it's too late to go. So time and season is so important that if you miss your time, you might not be alive when that door opens again. Think of the Israelites. God told them, enter the promised land. They decided to send some, okay, God told them, go and send some spies. Go and see. When the spies came back, they said the land eats the people there. They said, we saw giants and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes and we became like grasshoppers. Now, when they say that, God said, these people will never enter Canaan. And for 40 years, they did not enter. All of them died in the wilderness. Now, only two people from that generation entered the promised land. Caleb and Joshua. Now, that door to enter only opened after another 40 years. They had a season to enter the promised land, but because they were not courageous enough, they did not put their faith in God to enter, they missed their season. Now, if you don't know your times and seasons, things can pass you, and I can assure you it will only take the mercy of God to restore that season. Nothing is lost in God, to be honest. God is the Redeemer of all times. But if you miss your time and season, it will only take the mercy of God. And that is why I felt led in my heart to share on times and seasons. Amen? And we'll start with the definition. What is time? Time is a measurement of an action, a process, or a condition. It's a measurement of period. That means that you can measure it in seconds, in minutes, in hours, in days, in months, and years. Like, I'm sure if the more I preach, you'll be looking at the time. Say, so this guy has preached for too long, huh? But I might preach for too long. Anyway, that is a warning. Now, there are two words for time. When you look at the Greek gave us two words for time. They gave us chronos, where the word chronological comes from, which is basically sequential time. The time that we count 1, 2, 3, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whether you like it or not, a day has 24 hours. Whether you go to India or you go to Canada, the day has 24 hours. It is established chronologically. By sequence, this day you will be born, next year you will be 1 year older. You can't go back in years. Now, this time can never be recovered. Once you lose it, it goes. Now, you must master your time, because the moment this time goes, if you miss to come to church today, you cannot attend church again of today, of 23rd May. That time is gone. Why? It is sequential. It is chronological. Now, there's another word that the Greeks use for time, which is called kairos. Spelling is K-I-R-O-S. Now, kairos refers to an opportune time or an appointed time. Now, when we say an opportune time, we speak that for a mother, there is a right time that she is able to give birth. We expect every woman that is pregnant after 9 months is when she is expected to give birth. Now, if she gives birth at 6 months, we call it what? Premature. That means it is premature to the time of expected. If she gives birth after 9 months, the doctors will be worried. They will say, Mama, you are post-date. That means your time has gone beyond the expected time. So Kairos is an opportune time. That means that, like the time, think of sowing and harvesting. You can only plant when it is raining. Or when you have water for irrigation. Then you can only harvest when it is summer. When there is time to harvest. So if you are sleeping when people are planting, that means you have booked a front row to watch them harvesting. And you will be hungry. That means opportune time is Kairos. Now, it is very important to understand that Kairos are moments of appointments and they are moments of opportunity. Amen? So every day we have Chronos. We wake up in the morning. But at each and every day, there is an opportune time that God has given us. Amen? Now, seasons, we know. Seasons are ideally periods of time that are marked by weather patterns, summer, winter, autumn, and spring. But also seasons can be a group of time. Like you can be in a season of breakthrough. You can be in a season of suffering. You can be in a season where your things are not working out. And someone is, it's just a tough season. Maybe you have job loss, you've lost your parent, you've lost a child, and it's just a season of mourning. Now, I want us to look at some of the wisdom that God gives us about time. The first thing that we want to learn today is that there is a time for everything. Tell your neighbor, there is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Whether you like it or not, there's a time you are born. And whether you pay how many billions, there's a time to die. Now, you have to be ready for in between here. Amen? What do you do between the time you are born and the time you die? Number two, it says, there is a time to plant. I've talked about planting. And there's a time to pluck what is planted. There's a time to kill. Imagine if there is war and someone comes to your house with a knife. You will also look for something and defend yourself. A time to kill and a time to heal. You know, for us, you can attempt to heal and a time to kill. If you know, if love is hard for you, you can say the same thing there. A time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to cry, a time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. You cannot go dancing in a funeral. When you go to a funeral, you go mourning. You mourn with the people. Imagine someone came for our anniversary in mourning clothes, in sackcloth. We'll chase them away. We'll say, what is wrong with you? You're coming in the wrong clothes for the wrong occasion. A time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather, a time to embrace, which is to hug, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to seal, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. Some people don't know when to keep silent. There's a time you see some donors, don't talk, eh? let the boss talk. But some people, they just don't know what to speak, where, and how to speak. A time to speak and a time to be silent. This is about wisdom. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. Verse 11 tells us, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Who is that? God has made everything beautiful in its time. You can be 60 years old and you're beautiful. Why? Because there's a beauty for 60. There's a beauty for a child when the child is 2 years. There's a beauty. The child cannot speak, but the parents understand that language.
You love that baby. And maybe the baby's quarreling and you're just like, what are you saying?
There's a beauty they have per age. You know, human beings are like flowers. The moment they come up, they bloom. And before you know it, it is gone. Number two, God is the author of times and seasons. Genesis 1 verse 14, God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So God is the one who created time. That means he does not live in time. Amen? It is his creation. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Whether you like it or not, it's going to be evening today. Whether you decide to not sleep at night and to sleep during the day, it does not change the day or the night. Because these are things that God has established as a law. There are things that God has established as a law. Seed time and harvest time. It is a law. There's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. Where you are now is because of what you planted yesterday. What you will eat tomorrow, what you will be tomorrow is because of what you are planting today. So, seed time and harvest time happen at the same time. You're harvesting today and you're planting for tomorrow. You need to ask yourself, what am I planting for tomorrow? Whether it is for your career, whether it is for your relationship, whether it is for your family, whether it is for your job, and what am I harvesting today? If you did not work hard in school, you know there's a kind of job you are doing now. It is linked to what you did. Eh? You can't go back to secondary school now. It's too late. You can go back to university and start studying, but if you had classmates, they will be 5 years ahead of you or 10 years ahead of you. True or false? That means that God is the author of times and seasons. And the Bible even tells us, Jesus told the disciples, it is not for you to know the times or dates set by the Father by his own authority. That means that God is the author of times and seasons. Number three, God is sovereign over the times of men. What do I mean by sovereign? Sovereign means he has authority over the times of men. That means that he can appoint presidents. He can appoint kings. He can remove kings. He can bring them to life. He can decide today your president is gone. He is superior over the times and seasons of men. Daniel said, Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, and he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So God is superior over time. He is sovereign over time. In fact, Psalms 31 verse 15 says, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemy. David was running away from criminals. They wanted to kill him, from Saul. And he tells God, God, I know they want to kill me, but my times, hallelujah, are in your hands. I know they might have sacked me from my job, but my times are in your hands. And he says, deliver me from the hands of my enemy. And Jesus asked in Luke chapter 12, verse 25, and who of you, by being anxious, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Can you add one minute by worrying? Why are you worrying about tomorrow? What you will eat, what you can you add anything? God is sovereign over the times of men. Number four, God exists beyond time. And he is not limited by it. Jesus came and found Lazarus was dead 4 days. And he came on time. To God, he was on time. He can be 4 days late, but he's on time. Why? He does not exist in our time. God does not live in our time. He says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Psalms 90 verse 4. 2 Peter verse 3 verse 8 to 9, it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as them.
That means to God, when he tells you,
I am patient with you that you do not, you come back to repentance, it is because he is merciful. And Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That means that God is in the beginning and is in the end. He is the first and he is the last. In fact, by the time you appear on the earth, he has already finished your life. He finishes everything before he starts. Don't wonder what will happen to you tomorrow. God knew it. That's why you're on earth. God had a plan for your life even before you knew it. Even before you wake up, the Bible says every day of our lives are written in your book before it comes to be.
Number 5.
God has numbered the days of man. Say, my days are numbered.
My days are numbered.
That is something that should make us worry. My days are numbered. Do we know how many days we have? In Genesis, people were living 900 years. Actually, the plan of God was for man to live forever. But because of sin, Adam lived, 920 something years. Methuselah is the one who lived the most, 969 years. Can you imagine? Then the Bible says wickedness increased so much. God said, no. My spirit will not contend with man again because he is mortal and his days shall be 120. So God, in the days of Noah, he said that now I have to reduce their year from 900. Can you imagine wicked people? You do wickedness for 900 years. Imagine if he was a president and harassing people for 900 years. You cannot be removed. People are complaining for 10 years, 15 years. 900 years. Person is committing wickedness. Until God says, this is enough. From now onwards, 120. And it got to a point, he said, no, this one, they all need to die. Die! And he killed all of them except Noah and his family. 7 people plus Noah. 8. Then God changed the 120. He said 120 is too much. I think the level of wickedness doubled. That means we are worse than those guys. Then in Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80. So by the time of David, God said that, now 120 is too much. Let us reduce it to 70. Now he says, but if you are stronger, you can reach 80. By days of strength, you can reach 80. But let us say, what does it say, verse 12? So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That means that if you need to number your days, you need to ask God, the author of your time, the one who has your time, and ask him, God, teach me what I need to do at this time. What am I supposed to be doing? Am I in the right career? Am I just in this because of the money? Or am I fulfilling your purpose? Teach us to number our days. Remember Hezekiah was told, you're going to die. Put your house in order. Then the man turned to the wall and cried to God and said, God, remember what I have done for you. And the Bible says, before the prophet reached the outer court, God told him, go back. And he went back and said, I have seen your tears. And I will add to your days 15 years. Can you imagine? Someone just by crying to God, God added 15 years. Maybe he was given, the Bible says he had a boy. I think it was cancer maybe. He got a malignant tumor. And he's told, within, put your house in order, you are going to die. That's what the doctors will tell you. Oh, you have a tumor, and because of that, just prepare yourself. You have 3 months to go. You have 3 months. Now, you can cry to God and say, God, remember. You see, he said, remember what I have done. Now, if you have nothing to tell God to remember, what will he say? That is a concern. What will God remember that you did for him that he can say you need to be alive?
that I need to give you 10 years, that you will not go to hell. You know, there are people who God says, let them die now because they are coming to heaven. Because if I allow them to live later, they will become drunkards. God said, no, no, no. This one, let him come now. That is the mercy of God. Number six, we must act in the set times and seasons. Say, we must act. You must act in the set time. If the service starts at 11 and you come at 12, is that the set time? If you are told that you're having an interview, would you come late? Would you come late for an interview? You are just about to join the United Nations. And you're told your interview is at 8 a.m. I'm telling you, some people, even by 4 a.m. they will be dressed. They will have showered. They will have brushed their teeth. They will be by the mirror. They will be practicing their opening statement. Yes, to meet God, who owns that job and multiple jobs. People don't come on time. We must act in the set times and seasons. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Sluggard is who? Sluggard is a lazy person. The Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep, and so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed robber. An armed man, an armed robber. God is saying, I have given you wisdom. Go to an ant right now. If you drop sugar here, ant will appear. Why? They are looking for food. They are not sleeping. They are looking for food. Why? Because they are preparing for winter. They know that this is summer now. Winter is coming. Now, if you don't prepare yourself in the summer, you're going to die of hunger in the winter. Now, if you don't act in the time of planting, you're going to sleep hungry in the time of harvesting. You must act in the set times and season. Now, Proverbs 12 verse 27 says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. Can you imagine? The lazy man, he has hunted. Then he comes, the food he says, I'm too lazy to roast. That means God is saying, are you starting things and not completing them? How much work have you started? How many things has God given you to do and you are not roasting again? The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. But the Bible says, but diligence is the man's precious possession. Number seven, there is an appointed time. Tell your neighbor there's an appointed time. Kairos. I don't want to speak about the chronos. That one is philosophy. You can learn it. How do you master your time? Oh, put a timetable. Wake up in the morning. Put an alarm clock. That one is, you can learn in philosophy. You can learn in class. You have been taught in school. But I want you to teach you the wisdom of God. Amen? There's an appointed time, Kairos. Amen? Now, many do not know their Kairos. Many do not know their appointed times. Jeremiah Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 7 says, even the stork in the heavens, these are birds, knows her appointed times. But and the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Look at God's concern. Jesus came to Jerusalem, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. He says, as he drew near to the city, he saw the city and wept over it, and said, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but they are now hidden from your eyes, for your days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you do not know the time of your visitation or the hour of your visitation. What was the problem of the man
who stayed by the pool of Bethesda, the Bible says, from time to time, an angel will come and trouble the water. And when the angel troubled the water, whoever will enter the water first will be healed. Now, the man was there 38 years. Now, I will ask yourself, how long will it take someone to master that, to just sit by the pool? It's because we don't know our times and seasons. Number two, sin and unbelief delays and kills our kairos or appointed moments. Hosea chapter 13, verse 12 to 13 says, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is kept in store. The pangs of childbirth come for him, but he is an unwise son, for at the right time he does not present himself at the opening of the womb. That means that he's speaking of Ephraim. Ephraim is the other word for Esau. The Bible is saying his sin is there, that it has tied him up, that he does not know. He's like a child. The mother is the time to deliver, but the child is supposed to present itself. Doctor, the child turns and the head comes down and presents itself to the place of delivery. But now the Bible is saying that Ephraim is, and the iniquity of Ephraim has tied him, and his sin has kept in store, and the pangs of childbirth, that means your kairos has come, the time that God has come to bless you, and yet that is the time you now get an extra girlfriend and you forget your wife. And the blessing comes, the angel comes with the blessing and sees you living in sin and walks away. There are people who realize that every time they were about to be breakthrough, some boyfriend from their past appears and messes them up. Why? Because the enemy knows that sin will delay your breakthrough. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased with them, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. The Israelites did not enter the promised land. Why? Because of sin, and two, because of unbelief. Hebrews says, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. Those who heard it. Sin and unbelief. Number three, the enemy attacks us in Kairos moments. Why do I say that? The devil is not too powerful. He doesn't have too many forces to waste his time on you every day. He will only attack you in Kairos moments. I remember a story of a couple. Every time when it is the time that they are supposed to come together, the time when, you know, the time of life, ovulation, that is the time they are fighting the most with the husband. And that time goes. And they wait for another month. Judges tells us, so it was, whenever Israel had sown, that means they had planted, the Midianites will come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east will come up against them. They will encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. Look at that. The Bible is saying, these Midianites, they were not waiting for them when they were planting. They relax, let them plant. Just when they are about to harvest, that is when they come. Until the people became poor. The Bible says they became poor. Look at how the devil attacked Jesus. After the temptation, the Bible says, the devil left Jesus for an opportune time. That means he was like, let me wait for him. When? In the Garden of Gethsemane. He does not wait for you in your chronos time. But the devil attacks you
in your Kairos time, in your appointed time. Why? Because that is the time God is bringing your answer, and then you miss it. You fight, you get angry, you insult your boss, and then you're fired. Yet they were about to promote you that month. Number four, Kairos are bound to come to all men. God is so faithful that to everyone he gives them a time to be blessed. Have you seen musicians? They have their seasons. Someone just blows 1 million views in 2 days. Huh? It's their time, they are shining. But then when they are shining there, they now start charging $5,000 to churches like, yeah, we want to invite them to come. They say, my bill is $5,000. You need to fly me first class. You need to book me in 5-star hotel. They start prostituting the gift that God gave them. The appointed time that God gave them, they waste it away. Ecclesiastes says, verse 9, verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. I remember one politician, and maybe some people know, her father was a member of parliament, and the father died, and the people said, yeah, you are the daughter, you are the one to take us, you are the one to continue. And she was a lawyer, and she really defended the politics very well. She even defended, and people say she is the right person. But you know what, that lady had never taken a voter's card. And for her, she went through the back door to the president people and they gave her a voter's card. But you see, they gave her on condition that she is in their party. But now, because she decided to go to the opponent's party, they released data. You know, they have evidence. Eh? They released data, screenshots, that showed that she never had a voter's card. And you know what? Her brother is the one now who the people say, now you go. Let your brother. And today that brother is still in Senate. I don't know whether he's in Parliament or in Senate. The girl had a Kairos moment. The Kairos moment was there for her to enter. But because she had not prepared for her Kairos moment, she was not ready. The moment presented itself, and she missed it. She missed it. She missed that Kairos moment. And the Bible says, the race is not for the swift. There are jobs that you get not because you are the best, but because you are the one who saw that application. Some jobs you just had 1 hour to apply, and you squeeze yourself, submit. And then you, at least because you are in Bangladesh, so the 12 p.m., you have 1 hour. Some time difference, it saves you. How many have experienced that? Applications that you just missed to apply. And then you are told the person who was taken, you are even 10 times better than that person. And you missed. Why? Because it comes to all men. Time and chance happen to all men. God is very fair. God is very fair. He will give everyone a chance. But does it find you prepared? And we spoke about the man who comes to the pool. I want us to see two people, Jesus and Elijah, and then we'll conclude that today. And we shall continue next Friday. And the question we'll ask next Friday is how to discern your appointed times and seasons, how to know them. Jesus, and he's our perfect example, the Bible tells us that there was a wedding in Galilee, John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Galilee, in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of the wine, the mother of Jesus said to him,
they have no wine. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to concern with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." My hour has not yet come. Jesus knew his time. John chapter 7, the Bible tells us, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works, what you are doing. For no one does anything in secret, while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe." They're telling you, manifest. You come and show us. You come and shine. You go and tell your boss you are now ready. The Bible says, "For even his brothers did not believe." Not everyone that is cheering for you believes in you. Verse 6, Jesus said, "My time has not yet come, but to you, your time is always ready." Jesus knew his time. His Kairos moment. He knew when to go to Jerusalem. He kept saying, "I know when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified." Elijah, what was Elijah's experience? The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead and Ahab, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord of God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew no rain this year, except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherish, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherish, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens," which are scavengers, you can imagine vultures, "the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while, when the brook dried up, because there had neither been no rain in the land, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.' And later, when he went to the widow, he told her, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth.'" Elijah was suffering for his own season. He's the one who declared, "There shall be a famine. There shall be no rain." But there's something that he learned. He said, "The word of the Lord came to him." You know, in seasons, you need to hear the word of God. The word of God is not hard when you're full of series and movies and things that are in the flesh. Your season is changing. Take time to pray. Take time to fast. Take time to read the word of God. Take time to just be in the presence of God. And God will speak to you. The word of the Lord came to him and say, "Go to the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you." In times of drought, God can use the unlikeliest sources to bless you. God can use the unlikeliest persons to even forward you an advert. And that can make a difference. God can use the unlikeliest of persons to tell you, "Why don't you try this medicine?" And it heals you. God can use the unlikeliest of person and says, "Why don't you go to this church and you'll be healed?" The small girl told her master, "Master, I see you are a strong man, but why don't you go to Israel? I know in Israel there is a prophet that can cure you from leprosy." The word of the Lord. We have shared today about times and seasons, and I'll stop there. And we'll carry on next week, how to design your appointed time. I want us to stand and take a moment and speak to God.